Okay, Parshas Bamidbar, and of course, Parshas Bamidbar introduces the Chumash Bamidbar, and Sefer Bamidbar is referred to in the rabbinic literature as Sefer HaPakudim. So the late great Gaon Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, noted that there are three distinct interpretations to the word Pakudim. On the one hand, it refers to an accounting, Pakod. And in the book of Bamidbar, two distinct accountings of the Jewish people are presented. At the same time, a pekuda, or a charge, is presented to the Jewish people and their leadership, in particular, in Chumash Bamidbar. So, pekudim refers to an accounting, now it refers to a charge. And with this charge, this version of pekuda, says Rav Aaron, is more interpersonal than just the mere counting, which is almost mechanical. Pakad, though, at the same time, as we know from Chumash Bereishis, refers to the idea of being mindful of something or someone beyond ourselves. Hashem Pakad Asara, for instance. A Jew is always counted, says Rav Aaron. A Jew is always charged. A Jew is always attended to. But there are times that we wish we would be left alone. A Jew needs to realize that he is never being left alone. The Jew is always being called. We don't get a right to sit on the sidelines. Even when we have a box seat, we have a right to only sit on the playing field. So Jewish life is bound by specific halachic guidelines and involves living a life of tzivui, a life of command, of mitzvos. Some people like to live laid-back lives and not to listen to too many orders. But a Jew always has to be ready. That's the message of Chumash HaPekudim. Be advised, be in choice. Recognize you have a responsibility. Anyway, the Torah begins with its description, and it tells us that they gave birth according to their families. And the Yalkut Shimoni comments that at the time of the giving of the Torah, the nations of the world challenged Hashem. Hashem silenced them by asking them to bring forth their Sefer HaYichus. Now, what's the connection? Either their Yichus is important, or it wasn't. But why is the Sefer Yichus going to be the item that all of a sudden determines whether or not someone deserves to receive the Torah? So the late great Rav Mordechai Banet of Nicholsburg, he explains, based on the pasuk that appears in Tehillim Kuf Yates Kuf Nun, Kirvu Rod Fei Zima Mitarascha Richeku, that those who run after Zima, after licentiousness, our distance from the Torah, that one who doesn't have a purified yichus isn't ready to receive the Torah. And hence, we read Bamidbar, which describes the purified nature of the Jewish people right before Shavuos, when we receive the Torah. Nowhere is this more apparent than this particular year, as we'll be receiving the Torah literally one day after the Parshas Bamidbar is read. Torah also continues with this idea of Vayisialdu al Mishpachosam levei Savosam, and the Sforno comments, Rashi makes a similar comment, that each family examined its Yichus to determine that it was part of a particular Shevet, Mishpachosam levei Savosam. And this was done since the Shechina doesn't, Eina Shechina Shora El al Mishpachosam Yuchasel Shel Yisrael, that the Shechina only rests on a Mishpacham Yuchasel. So before we quoted Rav Mordechai Banet, I'd like to quote Rabbi Kiva Eger, who likened this to a pot filled with water. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, "Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechabos eso ahava," that a lot of water can't put out the burning fire of love. Now the truth is that when you're heating a pot of water, then it cannot squash the fire. It doesn't have the ability to destroy the fire, because as long as there's a container that contains the spread of the water, then it can't put it out. That container, knowing where we belong, each piece in its right place, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, is our barrier against assimilation and having the fire grow out. We need to make sure that we're careful not to put the fire out. Also, on the same idea of Vayisialdu l'mishpachosam l'veis avosam, the author of the Zichron Yehoshua explains that the purity of the Shvatim was achieved because they were set up l'veis avosam. That is to say, when a child was born and the child was leading a Jewish life, then the child had an image of what their parents of what his parents expected of him, in their homes. In other words, it's similar to what Yosef HaTzadik experienced when Yosef said, when the pasuk tells us, the Mefarshim explained Rashi and Chumash, the most yukno shal avivra, that he saw the image of his parents sitting in front of him, and since they were able to thrive by living up to their parents' expectations. Vayisyaldu al mishpachosam leves avosam. Sometimes we need to live up and set an expectation so that we know what to achieve. Torah also tells us that we have a responsibility to set up ish lemachaneu ish al diglo, right? Each leader had a responsibility to his family. And the Darkei Tshuva of Munkach would often quip that a man keeps his eyes down as a sign of humility, lemate avosav, lemata, because he knows where he fits in within his family. A person has a responsibility to know that family life is not just about shirking responsibility, it's about a badge of honor that helps direct the individual. Yichus is only as good as the person who lives up to what the Yichus demands of him. And then later in the Sedra, we're told how each part of Bnei Yisrael was supposed to camp. So the Torah tells us, V'chanu, ish amachaneu v'ish al diglo, that each one would camp according to his encampment and each according to his flag. And the reason why we read Parshas Bamidbar yearly prior to Shavuos, according to Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel of Montestrich, is because one of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah identified in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, Parakinyan Torah, which is learned in the diaspora of the Shabbos, is through knowing one's place, being makiris makomo. By reading Chumash Bamidbar, by reading Parshas Bamidbar, one should come to the appreciation necessary for one to truly value where he or she comes from, and where to, and how to, and where to shine from it. Then the Torah begins with its discussion of Shevet Levi and of the Ve'ela B'nei Aaron and Moshe. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. And it's fascinating that the children of Moshe themselves never mentioned in the census. And the question has to be raised. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu and Zipporah had two children. The Torah tells us Gershom and Eliezer, right? So why aren't they mentioned? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal suggested that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his own personal life when Bnei Yisrael left Ramat at Har Sinai. From that moment on, Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer an individual, because now, as he later complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is Kasher Yisa Omenes Hayonek, he is now the nursemaid of Klal Yisrael. And hence the children of Moshe don't get mentioned as his own in the sentence. In fact, even when we read of the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Is Shnei Boneha. The children are referred to as her children. For as the goal of the Jewish people, Moshe required complete dedication to the nation, even at the expense of his own family. Sometimes in life we sometimes expect that much out of our Gedolim, never to have time for the family. We need to be a little bit more protective, because Moshe Rabbeinu as a Goel was never able to raise his own. Finally, this coming Shabbos we'll read the Haftorah, and on a simple level the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha seem to connect in that they both focus on the idea of a census. However, Marana Rav Shechter Shalita suggested a deeper level of connection. You see, the Parsha ends, V'lo yavo liros kevalas HaKodesh v'amesu, that we have a responsibility not to gaze at the Aron HaKodesh. And a similar idea exists in the Haftorah when Bnei Yisrael are referred to as Ke'ishiu Kebali, which Rav Shechter explains is that when we are in the Beis HaMikdash in an ideal relationship with Hashem, we are Ke'ishi. We are identified with that loving relationship that is considered Nisuin. And so in that situation, there's no issur to gaze at the Kruvim. There's nothing that's held back from our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, it was the practice to show Olei Regalim the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had towards us and we towards him. However, when we were traveling in the Midbar or in the Second Temple period, when the status of the Beis HaMikdash was somewhat diminished, or even in the Galus, where, of course, there is no Beis HaMikdash, our relationship with Hashem is like an Arusa, Kebali, and as such, not yet everything is revealed. V'lo yavo liros, kevala sakodesh v'mesu. Harachamon, may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the process of Kabbalah Satorah and Kinyan HaTorah, that we can become a deeper relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be zoche not only to a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, but a Yom Shel Kulo Geula. Chag Sameach.